What's up, Doc?
Everyone's favorite carrot-munching, wise-cracking rabbit will be popping up in homes this weekend as the Cartoon Network presents a Bugs Bunny marathon. The Atlanta-based cable channel will show Bugs Bunny nonstop for 49 hours. It could have been 50. The network will not be running 12 cartoons from the 1930s and 40s that contain racial stereotypes. From member station WABE in Atlanta, Joshua Leves reports.
It was going to be an unprecedented event. All the nearly 200 Bugs Bunny cartoons would air on one network. Cartoon Network had managed to get the rights to all of them, partly through its merger with Warner Brothers, the company that owns Bugs Bunny. To celebrate, it decided to air every Bugs cartoon, even the 12 Warner Brothers had pulled from circulation over the years because people complained they were offensive.
We decided that, well, perhaps we could air them late at night with disclaimers that would alert viewers that some of the content was questionable.
Mike Lazo is vice president of programming for Cartoon Network. He says no one asked them not to show the cartoons. Still, network executives changed their minds because of this concern.
That people might see these out of context, that in fact you couldn't just tune in, see an image, and have somewhat of a knee-jerk reaction.
Most of the images involved are racial stereotypes. In 7-minute films that originally aired before the features in movie houses, Bugs Bunny would travel around the world, outwitting hunters and watching them make fools of themselves. In one case, that hunter was a young black boy, slouched over and drawn with huge pink lips. The 1941 cartoon was called All This and Rabbit Stew.
I was gonna catch me a rabbit. Gonna catch me a rabbit.
He eventually catches Bugs, but the bunny pulls out a pair of dice and the two go play. Other cartoons show slaves picking cotton and Bugs momentarily in blackface, but depictions of African Americans are not the only images at issue. In a cartoon called Bugs Bunny Nips the Nips, made during World War II, Bugs goes to Pearl Harbor and is chased by a stereotypical Japanese character. Soon Bugs drives along in an ice cream truck and calls the Japanese soldiers a slew of epithets. Among the 12 cartoons, there are also stereotypes of American Indians, Eskimos, and Aboriginals. Many fans of animation believe these cartoons should be shown on television. Jerry Beck runs the website cartoonresearch.com.
They belong on TV like any classic movie. The Wizard of Oz, Gone with the Wind, Turner Classic Movies runs, The Jazz Singer, Babes on Broadway, films that have characters, white characters in blackface. This is not an issue when you're dealing with classic film.
Beck says part of the problem is that many Americans think of these cartoons as primarily for children and don't want kids seeing them. But he says the cartoons were actually designed for adults as well.
I think it should be accessible to grown-ups who want to see what this was about. I don't think we should be burying our past.
Beck says if Cartoon Network wants to be particularly kid-friendly, then Warner Brothers should air the controversial cartoons on another network or release them on home video. And one of the nation's experts on racist animation agrees. Henry Sampson is the author of That's Enough, Folks, which examines images of black people in classic American cartoons.
If you don't show those cartoons, one does not get a complete history of American animation. I think you get a distorted view of American animation. And I certainly think that you could show those cartoons today with the appropriate introduction and with the appropriate explanation. I'm all in favor of showing these cartoons today.
Sampson says he even wants people to see the animated versions of minstrel shows that were also made in the early 1900s. The Cartoon Network is developing a couple of documentaries that would look at some controversial animated films that have been pulled from circulation. The network also points out there are controversies over some old cartoons that are still shown today. Some people believe the crows in Disney's Dumbo are mean-spirited representations of African Americans.
Did you ever see an elephant fly?
Well, I seen a horse fly.
Ah, I seen a dragon fly.
I seen a house fly.
See, I seen all that too. I seen a peanut stand and heard a rubber band. I seen a needle that winked its eye. But I be done seen about everything when I see an elephant fly.
What you say, boy?
I said when I see an elephant fly.
Animation expert Jerry Beck says part of the problem is that cartoons make fun of everybody. In fact, he says the Bugs Bunny films that will air this weekend are filled with stereotypes.
Bugs Bunny is being chased by two stereotypical French chefs. There's a cartoon where Bugs Bunny is a mascot on Christopher Columbus's boat coming to America, and Christopher Columbus and the Italian characters are very stereotypical. They didn't pull those. Bugs Bunny is playing golf with a Scotsman. It's a complete outrageous stereotype of a Scotsman, with a guy wearing kilts, got the bagpipes, he speaks in the brogue. It's comical. And, you know, where do you draw the line?
That's a question today's animators grapple with. Disney's The Little Mermaid, Pocahontas, and The Lion King all came under fire from people who found certain characters racially offensive. After Aladdin came out, the makers of the film changed the opening song because Arab American groups complained about these words. Meanwhile, Jerry Beck says there's less uproar over stereotypes used in some animated primetime TV shows. He believes that's because people recognize these shows are geared for adults and meant to be satirical. Beck says Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, and other classics were designed with similar intentions.
We've forgotten that these cartoons were the Simpsons and the South Park of their day.
Beck says 50 years from now, people may be arguing over whether to show old Simpsons episodes, especially if they're presented in a format geared toward children. The Cartoon Network's Bugs Bunny Marathon begins Friday night. For NPR News, I'm Joshua Leves in Atlanta.